Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A full day of football to break down? Let's talk to the pros. Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. We are here to recap everything that happened in Week 17. It's me, Dan Harris. It's him, Pat Fitzmaurice. If you're watching us on YouTube, we have no overlays. Sorry about that, but it was craziness today, so it's craziness here. Pat, last of this show of the season, anyway, we'll continue to do football podcasts going forward, but last of this show, how did the final Fantasy Football Sunday of the year treat you?
It treated me pretty well, Dan, because I crashed and burned in every other league and didn't really have anything on the line this week. I had a championship game that I lost last week and, won another semifinal and had bowed out earlier in the playoffs. Week 15 had been pretty tough, too. So, I got to just kind of kick back and enjoy it. But I will say, Dan, before we get into this, I just want to say, like, to all the people who are watching this and are listening to this, celebrating their championships, congratulations. Because, like, this was, I think, maybe the hardest year to win it. And you say, how can that be? It's 12 teams in my league every year. I mean, I doubt you ever had to work this hard in weeks 14, 15, 16, 17 to get here with the COVID madness we have had over the last week. And, like, the number of transactions teams have had to make to scramble, to try to patch holes, to do this. I mean, I had a follower ask me today earlier, like, just trying to guard himself in case Deontay Johnson got COVID in tomorrow's game. He's like, should I pick up Donovan Peoples-Jones, James Washington, or Ray McLeod? I'm like, we'll pick up Donovan Peoples-Jones because you might get close contacts with the two Steelers. If like, those are the things you have to think about now. It's crazy. So anyway, congratulations if you survived the gauntlet and won your championship game. And to those of you who didn't, I mean, it's been a wild year. We've taken hits on our rosters that none of us could have seen. And, it was just such a tough minefield to navigate this year.
If you did survive, cherish it is basically the way I can say it, right? Because, Pat, I feel like sometimes I win a championship, it's great, I feel good. And then I feel like 4 days later, Pat, it's like I've sort of forgotten, you know, like all the struggle that went into it, everything we did, how I lived and died with that finals matchup. A few days later, it's just like, all right, cool. Yeah, that was fun. No. Remember it, celebrate it. I'll tell you how you can celebrate it actually in a few seconds. But yeah, especially this one. And you're right. The dealing with the not knowing whether or not randomly one of your players is just he's going to be out. You're going to find out game day with no prior notice of injury. It's going to be on the COVID list. That's what it is. I do see a few people who are in the chat. If you're in the chat, hello, welcome. Ask some questions. We'll be there for you. Certainly, we will talk about Ja'Marr Chase and Rashad Penny, league winners, essentially, for it. Some people playing to week 18. We'll reference that where we can. But anyway, let's get into it, Pat. Before we do, though, let's talk about a couple of things. First, I want to announce the winner of our giveaway from last month. It's Andrew Y from Kentucky. But even though the regular season, you know, regular fantasy season is over, we're still doing a giveaway. A signed Jalen Waddle jersey may have let you down today, but he came through for you big this entire season. Just subscribe here to this YouTube channel and then go to fantasypros.com/contest. That's it. That's how you enter, and subscribing to this YouTube channel really helps. Now, Pat was just mentioning about how you have to savor this championship. Absolutely. If you made it, congratulations. If you happen to win some jelly beans, I'm just going to make a humble suggestion that you consider donating at least a small portion of it to the GoFundMe that we have set up for Tags' family. All you gotta do is go to GoFundMe, just search for Mike Tagliere, you'll see it. If you guys won a championship, even if not, if you are able, if you can lend any support to Tags' family, please do so. If you wanna express any thanks to us or to Tags himself for the years of great advice that he gave you, supporting his wife, Tabby, his daughter, Alyssa, his son, Jonathan, would be great. There are 9,500 separate donations to the GoFundMe of all different sizes, you know, $10, huge amounts, but 9,500 different donations. That's really incredible. I'm sure I speak for Pat when I say that now, as the fantasy season is finally over, we're going to take even more time to really process the loss of our close friend and colleague. So again, if you are able, please consider supporting the Tagliere family. Just go to GoFundMe and look for his name and you should find it.
You could also can also go to my Twitter account at Fitz_FF. And it's I've got the GoFundMe link pinned to the top of my timeline.
Beautiful. And again, it's raised over $500,000. And the support has been incredible. And really, I think Pat and I were both very close to Tags on a personal level, like put aside work, just on a personal level. We were very close to him. And it's been overwhelming to see the support from the listeners and the community and everybody like that. So certainly if you won a championship, if you won some jelly beans and, you know, you want to do something good, that's a good place to sort of spend some of your winnings. All right, Pat, we usually do trust or bust. We're going to throw that out. We usually do I'm confused by your opinion, sir, which I never am anymore. Spoiler alert, that's all been made up because I'm rarely confused by your opinion. So I guess, Pat, just the world is your oyster here to start us off before we get into the games. Big takeaways from the week, anything you want to talk about, start us off with something fun.
I'll just kick us off with one thought, Dan, since we're about to enter the off season and player debate season, where, you know, those of you who are active on Twitter, we're going to have these debates about player values. And we're going to have the memory of the 2021 regular season fade a bit. And we're going to be open-minded about player values. And I think my New Year's resolution is to maybe be a little bit more close-minded about player values, Dan. Like, I think there are some things I want to shut out and some guys I don't want to give second and third chances. And I'll just, as an example, Laviska Shenault comes to mind. Like, I just had such a man crush on him coming out of college, fell in love with him when he was a sophomore at Colorado, and have been waiting for him to pop, and it just, like, hasn't happened. And now we're in year two. And you can make excuses. You can blame it on Urban Meyer, you know, that he didn't develop in year two. But the fact is, he's been out there getting outperformed by Laquon Treadwell in his second year. Like, Laquon Treadwell has been a more productive, like, consistently week in, week out. So I'm, like, walking away from Shenault and leagues next year. And I'm not going to, you know, buy anyone who tries to make the arguments for Shenault. And, like, there are some other guys I could apply this to, Jalen Reagor, Bryan Edwards. Like, these guys are kind of dead to me after not doing anything in year two. But if we want to take this a little bigger, Dan, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, like, I'm not going to believe that there's still running back one upside here. I mean, we've seen whenever Clyde has been out, Darrell Williams has been more productive than Clyde. Like, Darrell, I think the 5-game stretch where Clyde was out earlier this year, he was like a running back 4 mm-hmm. over that 5-week period, and had a good game today with Clyde out. And another one, Dan, like, I don't know if maybe he wasn't fully healthy this year, but we talk about the word juice and, you know, how much our colleague Andrew likes the word juice.
Yes.
The juice was gone from Ezekiel Elliott this year. And I'm not going to pay the price, a speculative price thinking that it's going to come back. Like, I'm just, I'll let someone else bet on that. I'm not going to make that bet. So anyway, I'm being more closed-minded this offseason, Dan. That's my New Year's resolution, to be a worse person, less tolerant of others' opinions. And that's how I'm going to roll in 2022.
Look, folks, you can listen to any podcast out there. All right. They're all going to tell you the same thing. Be a good person. Be open-minded. Just let everything in. Here, you come here. Pat Fitzmaurice is telling you to hate everybody and be closed-minded and, you know, don't give everybody second and third chances. Just keep close. Look, you can't get that many places, Pat. So I appreciate
That's
it.
Right.
I appreciate you going to it.
Matchup recaps.
On that note, let's get into the games here. Let's start with the Bills 29 and the Falcons 15. Josh Allen, a weird game, 11 for 26 passing, just 120 yards and three interceptions, but he rushes for 81 yards and two scores. Devin Singletary, meanwhile, dominates the touches, 23 for 110 with the touchdowns. Is this enough to be the Bills back going into the future, Pat?
It's interesting. Like, he has definitely staked a claim. I can't wait to see what they do in the draft, Dan, because if you recall, there were a lot of people who thought the Bills might dip their toe into that water in last year's draft, and they really didn't. Just kind of decided to roll with the Singletary-Moss combo again. They brought in Matt Breida. I think Singletary has earned the chance to be at least part of a two-man committee, but I would not be surprised if they were one of the teams that maybe look for running back on day two at some point.
Yeah, I'm not willing to make the proclamation based on a couple of good games here at the end where it looks good, because I feel like we've been fooled a few times before with the Bills. I will say, Pat, that you and I joke often about when we get a ton of questions on Sunday mornings, and the guys who we hope that we constantly recommend are the ones that perform. And there were a bunch of those guys here. I know Penny for you was a big one, and you recommended him to a lot of people. Singletary wasn't the main guy, but I did sort of, I don't know where you had him ranked this week, Pat. I think had him 13th or 14th. I felt good about him coming in, and he kept coming up in questions and I kept recommending him. So I was really glad to see this one happen here for this week. But I admit that I'm hesitant going forward. For the receivers, Pat, 9 targets, 5 catches, 52 yards for Diggs, 3 catches, 40 yards for Gabe Davis, 2 catches, 22 yards for Cole Beasley. It's kind of been a disappointing season for Diggs, Pat, just 200-yard gains. Is he still a wide receiver one for you going into drafts next year?
I think he will be. And we have talked about this before, Dan. He actually had a pretty good weekly floor. This was one of the weeks where it didn't really work out for him, but it was kind of a cold, windy day in Buffalo. There was snow on the ground. Like, it was classic Buffalo in January weather. So I'm not going to hold it against him too much. Like, the passing games just weren't that operative in that game. And Diggs pretty much most weeks would give you like 70 yards or a touchdown. Like, there was always something. Rarely did you walk away from a Diggs game empty-handed. So, you know, the reality is probably closer to this year than what we saw in 2020. I still think he's going to be like a lower-end wide receiver one next year.
Pat, for the couple of people who are still playing into week 18, do you consider Dawson Knox anymore after, back-to-back? I mean, he caught the touchdown, obviously, last week, but he's just not been involved. Nothing this week whatsoever.
Good matchup against the Jets, though. So I would say he would still be probably in tight end one range, you know, lower than some of the other guys now. But by the way, Dan, Kyle Pitts went over 1,000 yards today.
Yes. Like, yes.
Just a decent game next week, and he's going to finish with about 1,100 yards, only 2 touchdowns. But, you know, and it was kind of typical today. Like, he had one great play where he was going up against Levi Wallace and the Bills and just makes this great catch down the sideline. And then he had, like, you know, one other catch for 6 yards.
But he was,
or something
he
like
looked,
that.
I think he was limited, Pat, because he hurt his hammy a little bit in the game. If you
oh,
saw,
did he?
He was still out there. He was still out there, but you could see that he was favoring it a little bit.
Struggling.
I think it was his hammy. He played through it. But I do think that that affected him. I do think that he would have had a bigger game absent that. So that is something. And it didn't sound like it. I mean, he played through it for the most part from what I saw. But yeah, he's fantastic, man. I'm sure by next year, everybody will ignore like the lack of touchdowns and realize just how good he was this entire year. Because
under very adverse circumstances, exactly.
Correct. Yes. Meanwhile, Cordero Patterson, 11 touches, 52 total yards. Mike Davis, 57 total yards and finds the end zone. He's a free agent, Pat. Do you think Patterson is going to be fantasy relevant next year without obviously knowing where he ends up?
I kind of think not. I just, the way we saw this crumble the last 3 weeks, it just makes me wonder. And you know, he's going to be entering what, his age 31 season, age 32. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't imagine a team committing to him as a major part of the offense. Maybe as a like peripheral contributor who could maybe give you a decent week off the bench in a pinch, but I can't see him being like, I don't know, a top eight rounds guy in a draft.
Yeah, talk about a difference of opinion with how we felt about him early on in the year as he exploded, and then he was just so limited and so uninvolved in the passing game going forward. Not much else here. I mean, Russell Gage, 3 catches, 50 yards. Matt Ryan throws for 197. He fumbles the ball. He has a touchdown taken off because of taunting, but we'll see what happens with Calvin Ridley next year. Anything else on the Falcons, Pat, or good to move on?
Good to move on.
Bears 29, Giants 3, riveting game here. Dave Montgomery, 22 for 64 on the ground. He does have 2 touchdowns, 2 catches for 17 yards through the air. Darnell Mooney, 13 targets, 7 catches, 69 yards with the score. Allen Robinson, 6 targets, 4 catches, 35 yards. Cole Kmet, 3 catches, 25 yards. So Robinson is a free agent next year. Patty's 28. Do you discount this entire year? And if he ends up in a good situation, expect him to bounce back to close to what we thought he was coming into the year?
Yeah, so I mean, there's been chatter here in Chicago, like that even kind of before the season, that Allen Robinson was a little checked out on things, and maybe if he lands in the right spot, like he's going to have to land in a really good spot though to interest me, I think, after what we saw this year, and just you know, he kind of needs to give us a show me year, I think, before you consider him the way we used to consider him, as this, you know, high level, no worse than a high end wide receiver two type guy. I think that's like totally off the map. And like, do we even need to, should we still be thinking about him as like a top 30, top 35 guy? Like that's,
right.
I don't know. It kind of depends on where he lands. Just, you know, not really staying healthy, kind of letting the injuries linger, and it was just really frustrating. And then like letting Mooney just completely take over as the alpha receiver here was just really strange for a guy who'd been so consistent for so long with bad quarterbacks.
Right. Well, let's talk about Mooney then. I mean, Mooney obviously had plenty of great moments this year, wasn't the most consistent guy, and you can pair it with Justin Fields. I mean, what do you think of his value here, both of these guys going forward?
Yeah, I think Mooney is going to be at least low end wide receiver two next year. Like I can see him being a top 25, like right around the lower end of the top 25. If the Bears don't make any major moves at wide receiver and Mooney's kind of the number one, you know, the Bears, they need to do a lot. They do need to get some wide receivers. I'm sure they're going to sign at least one, draft at least one, but depending on who they bring in, like I'm kind of interested in Mooney going forward. And his touchdown catch today was a beaut, too. Back of the end zone, little pirouette. Very nice.
Yeah, he was definitely a guy who I unfortunately did not recommend to that many people. But it was great to see anyway. He played well for the Giants. I mean, Saquon Barkley finally sort of comes through with a decent game here. 21 for 102 on the ground. Pat, they've picked up his fifth-year option. He's got 2 injury-plagued years. How do you value him in, let's say, dynasty formats going forward?
In dynasty, interesting, because, I mean, I'm worried, Dan. Like, I'm worried that the what's around him is so bad it's going to take, like, 2 years to repair. Like, the offensive line needs major work. I don't think it's just a one-year rebuild. I think it's probably a two-year rebuild of that line. And, like, unfortunately, I think they're going to be committed to Daniel Jones for another year. So that's going to keep Saquon Barkley to me, like in running back two range. And I'm not going to be, especially someone in every draft is going to pay for, you know, the Barkley who came out of Penn State, the Barkley who ripped it up as a rookie, that Saquon, like I'm not paying for that Saquon.
I agree. And you look, it's, you know, you give the guy credit for having 102 yards when your quarterback throws for 24 on the day, as Mike Glennon did today. I mean, it's Mike Glennon, whatever. It doesn't matter. Is there anything you want to talk about, Pat, as we wrap up the fantasy season about a Giants pass catcher, or just like whatever? You can't take much from this year because it was such a disaster.
Yeah, like I would want to. I was really intrigued by what Kadarius Toney showed us in that 2-game stretch. Like, boy, that was back in like week 4 and week 5, I think. But man, I just don't want to buy into this offense next year. And I think there are going to be people when the Twitter offseason discussions come, people are going to remind you about that really great 2-game stint Kadarius Toney had and try to kindle interest. And I'm just not going to do it with an offense this bad. And yeah, and Toney had trouble staying healthy himself. But
yeah,
I also want to apologize, Dan, just in case this follower happens to be listening. The one who asked me, in a super flex, should they start Mike Glennon or Ramondre Stevenson?
Mm-hmm.
I figured, yeah, if Glennon can just squeeze out 180 yards, half a touchdown, say, you know, the odds are that he throws half of a touchdown pass, like 180 plus that, that's like 11 points. Stevenson is as kind of a nominal backup today. Well, you know, I'm like, you got to start the quarterback. I steered this person so astray. I mean, like, Glennon was worth negative points or 0 points or whatever he was worth, and Stevenson scores 2 touchdowns. And yeah, so if I cost that person a championship, I'm so sorry.
I understand you feel bad about it, but if it makes you feel better, I guarantee you that person is no longer listening to us anyway, and he's just burning you an effigy at this point, regardless. So you're good. But if you are out there, we do apologize. We do make wrong calls. So we're sorry about that. All right, before we get on to the next game, which, by the way, is going to be the Bengals and the Chiefs, so we're going to talk about that for 6 hours. Let me tell you about the fact that it's a new year, and it's time to make those New Year's resolutions, which you guys know. You read a few books. You give a little more to charity. And of course, the always popular, you take better care of yourself. You work out, you eat better. And for God's sakes, groom yourself. If you want help, join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com and using the code Yates, which gets you 20% off plus free shipping. And go buy the Performance Package 4.0. That includes the Lawnmower 4.0 electric trimmer that has proprietary skin-safe technology and it's waterproof. The Weed Whacker, which is a nose and ear hair trimmer that has a 9,000 RPM motor and also uses skin-safe technology. A pair of Manscaped anti-chafe boxers. Ultra-premium body wash infused with aloe vera and sea salt. And a travel bag. So get your new year started off right with the Perfect Package 4.0 from Manscaped. And remember, you get 20% off, 20% off plus free shipping with the code Yates at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code Yates at manscaped.com. All right, Pat, let's get into the Bengals 34 and the Chiefs 31. And kudos to you, you absolute lunatic. You ranked Ja'Marr Chase 7th at wide receiver. I did a double take a little bit, Pat. That was an aggressive ranking. I thought it was a perfect, well, the perfect ranking would have been 1, but I'll give you a pass there because 7 was high, Pat, based on, you know, I would have preferred T. Higgins, but you had it right. 12 targets, 11 catches, 266 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Joe Burrow throws for 446 and 4 touchdowns. He did take a shot to his knee at the end, but I saw him smoking a cigar afterwards, so he looks like he's okay. I mean, I don't want to engage in hyperbole, Pat, but the question should be based on how they close the season here. I mean, are you looking at sort of this, you know, Mahomes, Tyreek Hill-esque type of like fantasy combination here going forward?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have Burrow ranked a lot higher than a lot of other people going in into next year. I think I'm going to have him ranked ahead of Justin Herbert, which I think is going to be a like totally me on an island for that one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Burrow is great. I mean, I think the one hole in his game right now is that he maybe needs just a little bit better of that internal alarm clock when he's in the pocket and the pocket is closing in. Like, that's the only flaw in his game right now. Man, I mean, he has just got an incredible arm. He, like, knows where to go with the ball, knows when to take aggressive shots downfield, like, knows when to just, you know, get it out on time, like quickly when to throw the little escape route. Like, I mean, he's just, yeah, he's totally clicking, and we've seen this for a while now, and Chase is just amazing. I mean, that first touchdown, like the way he turned on the afterburners to just like, I mean, he slipped, like made one move and then he was just
gone.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. And yep. Dan, there was a play after he had already scored three touchdowns that maybe impressed me as much as anything he did all day. It was just like a little, I can't say a bubble screen because they hadn't set up the bubble yet. They're like a little pass in the left flat. And the blockers had not gotten into position yet for Chase. And Chase like catches the ball, just kind of like waits a beat for like these two blockers to come running over. And as soon as they're in front of him, like, okay, let's go, boys. And like turns it into a nice 10-yard gain. Like he's a really good football player. I mean, suction cup hands. Like so many people were fading him in draft season because he had the drops. He had the yips in training camp in the preseason. And boy, now like we're just talking about him making these crazy hands catches.
I wonder if that's the lesson, Pat. Like, is the lesson to, I know we try to ignore, I mean, at least for me, I certainly try to ignore what we see in the preseason, other than usage and things like that. But I think I dropped him probably a spot or two or something, not crazy amount, but maybe the lesson really is just to ignore all the noise that we see like that in the preseason and just focus on the talent like we had originally. Cause boy, did he come through for fantasy managers. And look, if you went against him today, my heart is with you. I wasn't going against him, Pat, in any league, thankfully. It must have been an excruciating experience to watch it. The rest of the Bengals, Mixon has 86 total yards and on 19 touches and like 16 almost touchdowns that he had. T. Higgins, 3 catches for 62 yards, was totally quiet in the first half, at least had that one big catch in the second half. Tyler Boyd, 4 catches, 36 yards with the touchdown. Any other thoughts on the Bengals, Pat, or you want to move on to the Chiefs?
No, that's about it. But I think it's not unreasonable to have Chase and Higgins both ranked in the top 10 next year.
Yep, I am with you. For the Chiefs, again, Darrell Williams, we mentioned it, comes through big time, man. 14 carries, 88 yards with 2 touchdowns. He has 3 catches for 19 yards. Again, we expect Clyde Edwards-Helaire to be back shortly, but I assume if not, and people play into week 18, he's at worst a strong RB2 against Denver, Pat?
Yes.
Sure. The rest of the offense, though, Pat, not great. Patrick Mahomes, 259 with 2 touchdowns. I mean, that's fine. One goes to DeMarcus Robinson. One to Travis Kelce. He was pretty quiet after a really hot start. Just 5 catches, 25 yards. Tyreek Hill, 10 targets, just 6 catches for 40 yards. Hill topped 100 yards once, Pat, in his last 12 games. Do you think the offense can sort of bounce back to what we saw at the beginning of the year, last year, where it's just so explosive? We saw bits and pieces of that sometimes, like against the Chargers and stuff like that. But before, it used to be, Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes were just a dominant force. It wasn't really like that. Do you think they can get back to that next year?
That's a good question, Dan. I wish I had some sort of definitive answer for that. But the slumps that we saw to Tyreek Hill and the dry spells are a little concerning, I think. Maybe he needs to move towards that lower end of the wide receiver one range too, along with Diggs. I'd certainly much rather have Chase than either of those guys. Jefferson, and I think Higgins too. I think I'd rather have T. Higgins than either Tyreek Hill or Stephon Diggs next year.
Yeah, I'm with you with that one. Let's go to the Titans 34, Dolphins 3. Deonta Foreman, 26 carries, 132 yards with the touchdown. Dontrell Hilliard also finds the end zone really in garbage time. So do Anthony Firkser and Jeff Swaim. A.J. Brown, just 41 yards receiving. Ryan Tannehill, just 120 yards. Pat, the game wasn't competitive. The weather was bad. Long term, we know Derrick Henry is going to be back. I don't really know, Pat. I sat here and I said, what can I ask Pat about the Titans? I didn't come up with anything. So if you have anything you want to say about the Titans, great. If not, I will move on to the horror show that we saw from the Dolphins.
I just think it's kind of funny that they decided, let's just pretend that Deonta Foreman is Derrick Henry and go with the same old game plan that we used like the first 10 weeks of the season and, run Deonta Foreman into the ground. That's about it. Nothing else. Bad weather. Not surprised they leaned on the running game and, Miami just let themselves get trampled. So,
yeah. They'd been good against running backs.
They had been.
Like they had been really, and I remember he kept coming up, like not a lot of questions because most people weren't starting him in their championship match, but I was like, you can, you'll get the volume. I'm not that optimistic about what we'll see. He looked very good. I mean, he ran hard the entire game. But yeah, man, I hope they get Henry back because I really want to see them in the playoffs with a healthy Brown, with a healthy Henry, and just see what they can do because they're a well-coached team. But it was not good on the other side of the ball, Pat. I mean, Tua was terrible. I know it was bad weather, so we can factor that in. 205 yards passing. He has the pick. He also lost a fumble. He fumbled two additional times where he didn't lose it. Jaylen Waddle, just 3 for 47. Really not his fault. Tua just was not making good throws. Mike Gesicki, 4 catches, 51 yards. Devontae Parker saw 13 targets, 13, and caught 4 of them for 46 yards. I guess, Pat, long-term value here, we assume it's going to be Tua still going forward, as much as they talk about replacing him. I don't know, but long-term value on the passing game for the Dolphins.
I'm concerned. I think this might motivate the Dolphins to do something else, a quarterback. And I think Tua maybe, and I had been kind of a big believer in Tua, and I'm starting to lose that faith. I don't think he looked really that good against the Saints the week prior either.
No.
And I just don't know if his arm is that strong. I think Tua is going to be one of these guys who's sort of stuck in the purgatory as the kind of starter a team is looking to replace, keeping an eye out for his eventual replacement, or like a really good backup. I think that's kind of his destiny, to be like a really good backup somewhere.
I think that that's right. And on the Betting Pros show, our co-host Matt Peralt says that I'm the world's most foremost Tua defender, which is not the case. I think he had helped the fantasy value, but I do think, honestly, he can be like a start. He's like strikes me as a journeyman starter. Like, that's what he is. He's like a bad team will have him as their starter and he'll keep them competitive and be like, oh, Tua's fine. But I do not think that he is going to be able to really be the type of quarterback who you can build around going forward. Good.
You want to say some people were talking themselves into Taylor Heinicke as a possible solution at quarterback. And I think Tua might be the kind of guy people try to talk themselves into as a solution for a struggling team. And there are going to be a lot of teams that are looking for quarterback help that won't be able to afford. They won't be in the Aaron Rodgers derby. They won't be trying to trade for Deshaun Watson, but they're teams that are going to need a quarterback.
Yeah.
Maybe Tua could find a fit with one of those teams.
Like a better version of Teddy Bridgewater. That's how I kind of view him at the moment, right? Like, yeah, all right, you can live with it. You can live with it, a better version of it. The running game, Duke Johnson, 65 yards. Okay, good. We're just going to move on. do not start a Dolphins running back if you are playing in Week 18. Raiders 23, Colts 20. This is a good game. Josh Jacobs, I want to talk about him, Pat, because one of the things that I have noticed when I look at all of our rankings is I'm always higher on Josh Jacobs, always, and I don't know why necessarily. But 80 total yards. He has the score. He left briefly with the injury. Interesting season from him, Pat. Just 677 yards rushing, still scoring touchdowns, 7 in 13 games so far, but 58 targets, 48 catches, 319 yards. All of them are already career highs. Do you think that going forward for a guy like Jacobs, that we do finally see this consistent work in the passing game? Or do you think this is something that came about? You know, Kenyon Drake was lost for the season. Jalen Richard was sort of in and out, more out of necessity.
Yeah, I think this is a generally positive season for Jacobs in that, like, the offensive line is sort of broken. And I don't think there was anyone in the coaching staff after Gruden left with the wherewithal to fix the running game. I think they can make strides toward fixing the running game, but meanwhile, Jacobs has shown that he can be a proficient pass catcher, and that was a capacity in which Gruden really never wanted to use him before. So if we get a coach who is willing to use him in that capacity, it could be pretty exciting. Like, I think Jacobs is one of the toughest, most hardest-nosed inside runners in the league. And like, you combine that with a dude who can catch passes, like, that's a pretty good package. And the only reason I was probably behind you every week on him, Dan, is just because that running game was broken. The offensive line was bad. I just felt like there was not, you were not getting a great shot at a 100 yard game in any given week.
Yep.
But, you know, he did keep getting into the end zone and he did keep boosting his floor with those pass receptions.
Yeah. And again, you were not alone, Pat. I was like on the island. It was all of us when I checked. That's really the only thing I check. I tell you, I don't like to check ECR. I don't like to make myself feel bad when I realize how like wrong I was on a player. But I don't mind seeing where you guys had him after it's locked. I was always, every single week, the highest single one of us on Jacobs. But yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The floor wasn't always there. The ceiling wasn't always there, but the floor usually was. Yes. Derek Carr here, 225 with the touchdown and a pick. The touchdown went on to Renfro, 7 for 76. He had the other one called back where they replayed it and ruled that he was down. Zay Jones, nice game here. 10 targets, 8 catches, 120 yards. How about Renfro next year, Pat? I mean, he really, really came on like crazy towards the second half of the season. How do you think we'll view him going into drafts next season?
I think we'll have to be a little cautious, partly out of necessity, because he did a lot of it with Darren Waller out. But I think some people are going to go overboard on that and say, well, he was sort of a product of necessity, just like no Darren Waller. He was they lost Henry Ruggs, obviously, very abruptly. So Renfro was just sort of this fallback option. But I mean, Renfro does kind of strike me as like the new Wes Welker or the new yep. Julian Edelman. And so I think he's going to be there in like the fifth or sixth rounds of drafts, and I'll be happy to scoop him up there. Like, I think he'll be a good value there from the people who just don't like taking a guy of that size, you know, like, yep. They want the AJ Green looking guys, the big alpha receivers. And to get a little guy like that, who's just, you know, I know he's fallen off a little bit the last couple of weeks, but the guy's just productive, man.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. And we'll talk about another guy a little later who I also think could be along that in that same classification, that same phylum.
Okay. I like it. And way to use, you know, words from my eighth grade science class. I love it. I agree with you, by the way. I feel like he's a guy who I'm going to have a ton of shares of. And I feel like most people are going to be like, not the type of guy I really want to draft. Right. But put him on my team any day of the week. Jonathan Taylor, 20 carries, 108 yards with the score. Carson Wentz throws for 148 yards with the touchdown. That was the most interception touchdown that you ever saw in your life. Turns into a 45 yard catch for T.Y. Hilton. Michael Pittman Jr. catches all six of his targets, 47 yards. He was great this year overall, Pat, but he was really held in check, as we always talked about, I felt like, by the run-first scheme. There wasn't always a ton of pass attempts for good reason. So long-term, I mean, I assume Wentz is going to be the guy next year. What's your evaluation, do you think, of Pittman, going into next year?
Yeah, like, I'll be enthusiastic about the player, but if he's tied to Wentz, I'm going to be more hesitant than I would before. And, you know, that was when I was taking notes on some of the games. There's a big note. Let's see. I don't want Wentz next year. Okay. So, and I think that was even before that crazy interception that got tipped to T.Y. Hilton just standing there, like, you know, waiting around for a cab ride or something.
Yeah, and terrible.
Yeah. So, Wentz just, like, there's some weird decisions that he makes sometimes. And I mean, just like, I'm not excited about, I don't think he's a really good, like, his ball placement isn't great. His decision making isn't great. I mean, there's just a lot of issues there. And they're, times when he can be, I don't know, I think he's a little bit better than Tua, maybe just a little bit better than Tua.
Yeah, but I think that's fair.
I also think he's a guy that before long the Colts will realize he's not their guy and will be looking for an upgrade too. And I think he's going to limit Pittman next year because they can't cut Wentz loose. They're hiding him with what they're doing now. They're having him throw 24 to 30 passes a game. They're basically hiding him with this running game. Right. But if they ever need him to throw 40 passes in a game to win, it's probably not happening for them. He's just not that good.
That's right. That's the problem. That's always been my issue with Pittman. But how about we'll make a deal? We'll only join leagues with Yates next year, and then we won't have to worry about it because he'll take him like four rounds earlier than we would be willing to take him. Pat, Patriots 50, Jaguars 10. I know you already made the Mike Glennon mistake. I don't think I recommended Stevenson to a single person. I'm pretty sure we had him ranked right around the same spot, which was in the 30s, because we didn't know what we could expect. Both running backs go crazy here. only 9 carries, 35 yards with the 2 touchdowns for Harris. He does get injured again and leaves the game. Stevenson, though, takes over the load, 19 carries, 107 yards, and 2 touchdowns. How do you see the backfield playing out next year, Pat?
I think they're going to both be involved again, so I don't think we can get too far out over our skis on either of these guys. Like, Stevenson is good, and I was a little below consensus on Harris today, Dan, and a little above on Stevenson, because I thought Stevenson would come back and it would be kind of close to a 50-50. And it just turned out I didn't see there being 4 touchdowns to go around between these two guys. So, you know, it turned out I was pretty mistakenly below consensus on Harris, although it felt like the right fade, even though, you know, he wound up having a huge day.
Do you hear that, Mike Glennon guy? All right. Pat was higher than consensus on Ramondre Stevenson. Leave him alone. Stop sending him hate mail. Mac Jones, 22 of 30 for 227, 3 touchdowns, 2, of course, Pat, as we were talking before we went on the air, to Christian Wilkerson, who neither one of us ranked, to our great chagrin. 1 goes to Jacoby Myers. I neglected to call the touchdown in advance this time, but he catches all 8 of his targets for 73 yards with the touchdown. Kendrick Bourne, 5 for 76. So just, you know, basically his fantasy rookie season comes to a close now. Pat, overall impressions of Mac Jones and his long-term future with the Patriots?
Yeah, so a better real-life quarterback than fantasy quarterback this year. I think he'll make strides in the fantasy department next year, when presumably they'll add some weapons for him.
Yep, I agree. And again, I joked about it all the time with Matt Peralt from Betting Pros, who is a Patriots fan. Just this year, like, they're not going to let, you know, take the reins off him. But I have been impressed with what I've seen, certainly way more than I expected. For the Jaguars, Ogunbowale, 9 for 36 on the ground, 2 for 32 through the air with the touchdown. I did recommend him to a million people, Pat. Did you too? I didn't want to.
Yes.
It was this horrific, like, reluctant, like, it's got to be Dare, man. It's just Dare with those options. And I was just like, this is terrible for most of the game. And then he scored the late touchdown. So thank you, Dare Ogunbowale. I appreciate it. If you play in week 18, Pat, are you going to recommend him as a start against Indianapolis?
No, I'll have him lower because he did not get the volume I was anticipating today. And Indianapolis is a pretty tough matchup against running backs generally. Like, I don't think I'm going to be recommending him as anything other than sort of a desperation running back 3 type.
You referenced already some of the Jaguars receivers, LaVisca Chenault in particular. Look, Trevor Lawrence, 17 for 27 for 193. He does finally throw the touchdown pass. Laquon Treadwell, 6 for 87. So again, go ahead. Overall thoughts on Lawrence and the future of the Jacksonville passing game?
Yeah, I think Lawrence will be better. I think he's totally, God, can you imagine that we would be using the word salvageable with Trevor Lawrence?
No.
No, I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be fine. But, you know, I think it's probably time to stop drafting the ever reliable Marvin Jones, because he wasn't so ever reliable this year. I'm totally out on Chenault next year. And Treadwell was just kind of a foil to show us how undraftable LaVisca Chenault should be for 2022.
Yeah. Bucks 28, Jets 24. Pat, there are going to be novels written about everything that happened in this game. Antonio Brown does suit up. There were questions about him with the ankle. 3 catches, 26 yards. Then he just leaves the game right in the middle, which I think is something that I've never really seen before. I mean, we all heard, you know, when the quitting in the middle of the game, but not like this. Certainly Ronald Jones was basically a recommended start by everyone. He was bad when he was in the game, 10 for 26. And then he hurt his ankle and was out. Mike Evans was in the game, but he was going to be limited. And he goes for 47 yards with the touchdown. Meanwhile, Tom Brady overcomes it all, 410 yards with 3 touchdowns, 1 to Evans, 1 to Cameron Brate. And the winner to Cyril Grayson. Gronkowski, 7 catches, 115 yards. So much drama in this game, Pat. I don't know what you want to say about it. So whatever you want to say about what you saw in this game, go for it.
I mean, I guess we have to say that Antonio Brown's career is probably over. And, you know, I've seen a lot on Twitter today about this. I mean, obviously, like, we have to wonder about his mental health, and we know that he sustained a lot of, like, pretty severe concussions during the end of his run in Pittsburgh. But he's also a guy who's done some pretty terrible things in his life. So it's a, you know, complicated evaluation of the situation, I guess. And I don't want to wade into the moral part of it, but I think it's safe to say that I don't think we'll ever see Antonio Brown play again, because Tom Brady was probably his biggest advocate in the NFL. And when he walked out on Brady and the Buccaneers today, I think he pretty much walked out on his career.
Yeah, I don't think you come back from it as a football player, because I don't see any team being willing to trust it. But yeah, look, again, there are obvious, you know, mental health concerns. So I think, you know, people who are making certain comments, I just, you know, I don't think it's wrong necessarily to whatever anybody is, just to, you know, have certain empathy when you look at the situation, generally speaking. But from a football perspective, I think it's fair to say that Brown is certainly done with the Bucs, as we know, as Bruce Arians came out and said. And my guess is that his football career is over. But let's talk about what we really want to talk about, and that's the Jets. That's what everybody's into right now. Michael Carter looked great early, by the way. 3 for 54 on the ground, 1 catch for 9. Then he leaves with a concussion. Ty Johnson does get the touchdown. Austin Walters, he's a ton of work, 14 for 47. But, I mean, Pat, let's talk about Zach Wilson. We've talked about him a couple of times. I didn't really understand the call, not his fault, for the quarterback sneak at the end of the game. That was like a 4-yard quarterback sneak to try to put the guy. I don't know what that was. But regardless, I thought he looked pretty good in this game. 234 yards with the touchdown. That goes to Braxton Berrios, by the way. 8 catches, 65 yards with the touchdown. He also rushes for 1. So I do want to ask you about Braxton Berrios, because he's a free agent after the season. So I guess the first question, let's start there. Do you think next year we'll be talking about Braxton Berrios in any way from a fantasy standpoint?
Here's our guy from the Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, Hunter Renfrow phylum, Dan. This is just a dude who knows how to play football. The kick, the explosive kick return the other week. Anytime he's thrust into the spotlight by these other guys being out, no Elijah Moore, no Jamison Crowder, Berrios comes through and is like this functional possession receiver. So I don't think he is going to be the kind of guy anyone is getting excited about, but he's the kind of guy I'm going to be drafting in like the 19th or 20th round of best ball drafts in February.
Yeah.
When the best ball rooms open and I'm like starting to dabble in that. Like, he's a guy I think someone is going to like, would it be a shock, Dan, if he wound up in New England? Like, he's like a perfect
New England player.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I want to be drafting him in best balls before we see where he ends up. Cause I think someone's going to go out and get him. Like, you know, someone's going to say this guy's pretty good and, can be just kind of a useful, sneaky possession receiver type. So, yeah, I am kind of excited about him.
And I will give him a shout out. I started him, picked him up, and started him in the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Invitational in the finals against Justin Boone, our good friend. And thanks to him, I'm only going to lose by 120 points. So I really appreciate his effort in that one. Meanwhile, Zach Wilson, very quickly, Pat, because nobody really cares. But long term, we talked about him probably 4 weeks ago and was pretty down on him. Anything that you've seen in this game or of late that gives you any more hope for his future?
I think I'm still concerned about him. I think he is still the, to me, like the fifth of the 5 first round quarterbacks this year, as far as his future, but I don't think we can totally slam the door on him yet. There's still hope, but you know, today he did look pretty good against a really good pass defense with some of his best receivers out. So there's something to be said for that. And, he plays with confidence, at least. Like, he doesn't look scared. Like, we saw some other quarterbacks today who looked like they were playing pretty scared. And, Zach Wilson is not that guy. Like, he's a confident kid. So
probably sometimes he should play a little more scared. But I agree that generally speaking, and I look, as a pessimistic Jets fan, I will say that today was a reason for me to feel optimistic. So I will grasp onto that. Eagles 20, Washington football team 16. Jordan Howard was active, just 11 for 26. Boston Scott, though, 14 for 47 on the ground with 2 touchdowns. He adds 4 catches for 39 yards. If you do play into week 18, Pat, will you trust Scott against Dallas?
I think he's playable. I think maybe we'll see a healthier Jordan Howard next week. Like, I don't know if there's any. Did they put Miles Sanders on IR, Dan? I don't even know.
I think they did. He's not going to be back next week. Okay. I do know that. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, like, the fact that we just had it basically boiled down to Scott and Howard this week was good. And, yeah, I mean, I was kind of feeling pretty good about Scott in the rankings this week. Like, and when we, I just figured that he was going to get more work than Howard, with Howard being sort of questionable all week and with this stinger thing. And yeah, I mean, it might be a little more balanced next week, but as we know, Philly has been the most run heavy team in the league since like what, Halloween or so. And no reason to think that's not going to continue in week 18.
Yep. Jalen Hurts, 214 yards passing, 44 yards rushing. Devontae Smith, 3 catches, 54 yards. Dallas Goedert, 6 catches, 71 yards. Long-term value here for Devontae Smith, Pat?
I think it's generally positive that he is being considered as a starter every week, Dan, for a team that is running the ball 64% of the time. It's not going to be like this long-term. It just can't be. No NFL team can sustain an offense running that much, I don't think. So it's going to get better. Yeah, I mean, I like what we've seen so far. The dude's a really good route runner. He's got good hands. Everything we've seen so far, like, as good as advertised, I think.
For Washington, Jarrett Patterson does come through, 12 for 57 on the ground with the touchdown. 5 catches, 41 yards through the air. Terry McLaurin, 7 catches, 61 yards, which is one of his better games on the year. So I don't know, man. Anything you want to say about Washington from this game?
No, the Patterson looked pretty good. The passing game looked bad for like a fourth, fifth consecutive game, whatever. And, you know, please get Terry McLaurin a quarterback for 2022, please.
From your
lips.
That's
good, man. But yeah, it's just, it's so sad watching him, like, you know, make these crazy jumps for balls 10 feet over. Like, I'm worried he's going to like kill himself going for like, you know, one of these hospital balls that get thrown his way all the time. It's just terrible.
I'm with you. Rams 20, Ravens 19. Not the prettiest game here. Matt Stafford, 309 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, one of which was a pick six. Sony Michel, 99 total yards with the touchdown. Cooper Kupp, 6 catches, 95 yards with the touchdown. Where do you expect to rank Cooper Kupp next year, Pat?
Oh, man. What scoring format are we talking about? Half?
Let's go half.
Yeah, boy. I mean, like, that's the debate. Should he be the 102 behind Jonathan Taylor? I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. Like, the other running backs who are going to be in consideration are guys like Dalvin Cook and Alvin Kamara, who, like, generally, if they're playing, you know, are going to be pretty awesome. But you also know you're probably not going to have them playing for you the entire season. And there are going to be weeks where it's maybe muddled and they're coming back from injuries and you don't know how much they're going to be used. Would you rather have a guy like that? Or would you rather have a guy like Kupp, who is pretty much going to go out there and ball out for 16 games? So maybe he should be 102. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to have to look at it pretty hard, Dan, but I can pretty much guarantee he's going to be in the top 3 or 4.
What a remarkable, remarkable season for him. And P.S., as somebody who has a long shot bet on him to win MVP, let's go Cooper Kupp. Van Jefferson, 4 catches, 63 yards. Odell Beckham Jr., 5 catches, 39 yards with the touchdown. In a weird twist of events, Pat, you were the highest guy here on OBJ among the analysts here, as opposed to me. But he's a free agent, Pat. Depending on where he lands, I mean, how much gas do you think he has in the tank?
I'm going to be a little worried about him. I just don't think he has the sort of 1,400-yard upside he used to have with the Giants. Like, I mean, he can be great in spurts. Like, he had 2 very consequential catches at the end of that game today. One, you know, a fourth down catch on the Rams' last gasp drive, which was a bad throw by Stafford. And Beckham makes a great hands catch to pull it in. And then scores the touchdown, like, I think it was the very next play later, where he just, like, a quick grab. So he can look really good, but, man, he's so brittle. And like, I just don't think he can be an alpha for anyone anymore. So
yeah,
probably is going to be inside the top 40, but not that far inside the top 40.
For the Ravens, Tyler Huntley, 197 yards passing, 54 yards rushing. He does throw the interception. Mark Andrews, 6 catches, 89 yards. Rashad Bateman, 7 catches, 58 yards. Hollywood Brown, 3 catches, 28 yards with a fumble. Devontae Freeman randomly gets going, 14 carries, 76 yards. So there's no Lamar Jackson, Pat. I'm not sure what you want to take away. It was another mediocre game for Hollywood Brown, who got off to such a great start and then has just kind of been very, very just sort of meh for 7 games.
Yeah, like I'll be anxious for, you know, people to start doing the autopsy on Hollywood Brown's season, because it's been pretty strange, like this transformation from, you know, deep threat home run hitter to short area receiver and like kind of a super inefficient one at that. So,
yeah,
like I think he'll have some value going forward, but I don't think Hollywood was really ever meant to be like a featured receiver. Like, yep. I think he's sort of the complimentary lid lifter. Boy, what would be a good comp for that? Like, I don't know. I mean, Deshaun Jackson was kind of a featured guy in his heyday. I'm not sure who to comp Marquise Brown to.
Not the guy. He's not the guy. He's not the guy as that wide receiver. And I agree. But it really was interesting to see how strong he started and how hard he faded here. Chargers 34, Broncos 13, Austin Eckler 17 for 58 in the ground with the touchdown, 3 catches, 54 yards. Justin Herbert throws for 237 with 2 touchdowns, one to Mike Williams, who has 3 catches for 63 yards. The other to Keenan Allen, who has 4 catches for 44 yards. Not sure here either, Pat. Not sure what there is to take away from this game for the Chargers, but anything you want to say, please do so.
Yeah, nothing really from the Chargers. You know, Herbert was solid. He's just sort of been solid lately, not spectacular or anything. Keenan Allen has kind of shriveled a little bit lately. I just wonder if he's going to be overdrafted next year. That's about it. You know, Eckler did his thing, looked pretty good. Mike Williams finally showed up late in that game.
Yeah.
Be another really bad Mike Williams game after that catch. So
I know. But that was a big one, obviously, and certainly saved his day. For the Broncos, you know, Pat, I had so much trouble because people wanted to start Melvin Gordon in this game, and I felt like he kept being the, no, like bench Gordon, of the options, bench Gordon, bench Gordon, bench Gordon. And I couldn't even really articulate why necessarily. It's just sort of where it came off, but neither one of the guys has a good game here. Javonte Williams, 14 for 30 on the ground, 1 catch for 2 yards. Melvin Gordon, 10 carries, 43 yards, 3 catches, 29 yards. So Gordon is a free agent now after this year. So what do you think we're going to be able to expect from Javonte Williams next year?
Boy, I think he's probably going to be like the kind of guy who's being picked around the turn, Dan, like a late first, early second, assuming he has the featured role. Although it's really weird. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of the people watching this, listening to this are, you know, musing over this, either it went for them or against them. But like the fantasy playoffs were supposed to set up really well for the Denver running backs. Like even if they were in this platoon where both guys had been effective throughout the season, and then you see week 16 and 17, the Raiders and the Chargers, two teams that have been pretty soft against the run this year. And for them to just get like stuffed into lockers in these 2 weeks and just completely disappear was really strange. And like, I'm sure a lot of people bowed out of the fantasy playoffs because of it.
I'm sure. Absolutely. Meanwhile, Drew Lock, 245 with the touchdown, which goes to Noah Fant, who has a nice game here. 6 catches, 92 yards. Cortland Sutton, 3 catches for 60 yards. I'm just going to give my takeaway, which is get the Denver Broncos a quarterback, please. And that's it. 49ers, 23, Texans, 7. Pat, also, I assume like me, you got a lot of Trey Lance questions in this one.
Did.
And the one I definitely screwed up was I debated Burrow versus Lance for like a day and ultimately decided on Lance over Burrow. That was a mistake. But everybody else, I feel like, even though it didn't look that pretty, he came through 16 for 23 for 249 with 2 touchdowns with the pick. He also added in some rushing yards. The touchdowns went to Deebo Samuel, 3 catches, 63 yards. And Elijah Mitchell, who just came back in, Pat, and I was a little hesitant on him. I didn't know exactly if he'd just walk into the big role. He did, 21 for 119 on the ground, two catches for 11 yards through the air with that touchdown. Brandon Ayuk has a decent game, 4 for 94. But George Kittle, just 35 total yards with one catch. Overall thoughts on both Lance and just generally his effect on this offense?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it looked okay for the most part. I thought the offense was pretty functional after a slow start. They got off to a pretty slow start, but the second half, things looked pretty good. And other than Kittle not being involved, and I wonder how that is going to go. Like, that might be the separator next year, I think. Like, because there's a case to be made, I think, for Kelce as the tight end one, for Mark Andrews as the tight end one. And I might have said that Kittle deserved to be in that conversation too, but I think the unknown of having Lance be a full-timer next year is going to make him the third man there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely something where I'm going to be concerned a little bit with Lance. That's going to knock it off a little bit. Even his catch was a phenomenal catch by Kittle to have that in for the Texans. Brandon Cooks comes through again, 10 targets, 7 catches, 66 yards with the touchdown. Davis Mills throws for 163 yards. Rex Burkhead, to his credit, 79 total yards. So if you were forced to start him, you were okay. I don't know, Pat, what do you think the future of the Texans offense looks like?
I don't know, but if Cooks is still there, like, he's pretty amazing. And I think he had kind of a long catch called back by a penalty too in this game. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he looks terrific, and I'm kind of, we talked about this, like, and interestingly enough, it was the 49ers against the Texans. Like, I think that the Texans are the sort of team that should get Jimmy G and have, like, Jimmy G be the bridge quarterback, have Davis Mills be his backup. You'll play Jimmy G, but you'll have a very capable backup who you might want to give a look at some points. And I think that would be a pretty effective quarterback combo for a team like the Texans that we know is not going to get one of the marquee quarterbacks, and there are no panaceas at quarterback in this draft. So to me, a Jimmy G Davis Mills combo would be not bad for the Texans next year.
I like it. I'm going to recommend you become the GM then, just to make it happen. Cardinals 25, Cowboys 22. Kyler Murray throws for 263 and two touchdowns, both to Antoine Wesley. He adds 44 yards rushing with no James Conner. Chase Edmonds totals 82 yards, kind of hoping for more given what we saw the last time. And again, it was a surprise inactive for Conner. There was optimistic reports early in the day. Christian Kirk, 6 for 79. AJ Green, 3 for 74. Zach Ertz, 7 for 41, I think, or 71 maybe. Pat, overall thoughts, I guess, on what we saw today from the Cardinals offense?
Yeah, I mean, as bad as they had looked for a couple of weeks, I actually thought it was an encouraging performance to just be sort of functional and okay against maybe the best defense in the NFL. This has been, the Dallas D has looked fantastic of late. So for, for the Cardinals to have this sort of game, I think it was a good sign.
Yeah, it was impressive. They looked much more coherent, I would say, or cohesive, really, it's a better way to say it, on offense than they had in recent weeks. For the Cowboys, just kind of a weird game. The only guy who really comes through for you is Dak, who has 226 yards with three touchdowns. He adds 20 yards rushing. He does lose a fumble, though. Everyone else, mostly a disappointment. Zeke, just 30 total yards on 10 touches. We can talk about that, obviously. Dalton Schultz is your leading receiver with 6 catches for 54 yards. CeeDee Lamb, another disappointing day, 3 for 51. Amari Cooper finds the end zone, but just 3 for 18. And Michael Gallup has that great touchdown catch, but leaves with what everybody now agrees is almost certainly a torn ACL. So, I don't know, Pat, unpack this game for me if you want to do Zeke and how he looked, or what we've seen lately from just the Cowboys wide receivers and how inconsistent everybody is.
Yeah, let's start with the Gallup thing. I mean, that sucked because he was going to be one of the hottest free agent wide receivers. So that's really unfortunate, and it's going to cost him money, and I just hate seeing that. Dak still wasn't good in this game. Then, like, the numbers were okay, but this was yet another game, his sixth game, I believe, since the start of November, where he averaged less than 6 yards per pass attempt, a little close to it this time, 5.95. But just like he missed some throws again, and like they're not really hitting on much downfield, like that Gallup TD catch. I mean, that was probably one of their longer gains of the day, or you know, one of the longer throws I think Dak made all game. And their running game was just completely dysfunctional today. Like they couldn't do anything on the ground. And yeah, like I don't know how they're going to repair that. It just, like, I don't know if Dallas can run effectively and consistently in the playoffs against, you know, better defenses than they are generally facing, especially, you know, in the NFC East. Yeah, I mean, this offense is just not firing lately. Save for week 16, the Dallas offense has been like the defense is carrying the Cowboys. How weird does that seem after the last couple of years, Dan?
I know. And how about long-term evaluation on Zeke, Pat?
I'm not going to be a buyer. Nope. I am not going to be a buyer. And I think he's like a, you know, should probably be a mid-range running back too next year in the rankings, but he'll be in the top 10, Dan.
Trust me,
he'll be ranked in the top 10. Oh, yeah, sure.
Of course. People will write it off to the injury. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm going to be out on this one going to next year. And I think, honestly, Dallas's fortunes would be improved if they gave the bulk of the carries right now to Tony Pollard instead of Zeke. But they probably will not because it's Zeke and I'm not a GM or a coach of a football team. So they can decide what to do with that. Saints 18, Panthers 10. Alvin Kamara, 100 total yards, and it includes 5 catches, which was nice. Taysom Hill, 222 passing with a touchdown, 48 yards rushing. Marquez Callaway, 6 for 97. Who do you think is the starting quarterback for the Saints next year, Pat?
Oh, man, that is a good question. I have no idea. I would have no idea how to handicap that. I don't think it's going to be Taysom Hill.
Okay.
You know, just... I don't think he passed. Do they maybe do another go around with Winston since things were going pretty well? Like,
yeah,
see if they can re-up with him. Yeah, I don't know. That's I don't think it's going to be Taysom Hill. He's not a good enough passer to be a regular quarterback in the NFL. And in fairness to the Saints, like that was not their plan anyway.
Correct.
This season. So
that's right. Yeah. Panthers, Chuba Hubbard finds the end zone and somehow 20 touches for 68 yards with the score. And Sam Darnold is terrible, 132 yards with a pick and a fumble. DJ Moore is terrible, 8 targets, 3 catches, 29 yards. I mean, Pat, nothing matters with this team until they find a quarterback, right? Yep. Like, I mean, that's the bottom line.
Yep. And I think they will be one of the teams that is, you know, very aggressively making a play for one of the marquee available quarterbacks.
Yeah. And I mean, look, it's a good situation. Their defense is overall strong. They've got CMC, they've got DJ Moore. Like, they're in an okay spot. But until they do, man, I don't want to ever watch another Panthers game. No. Until that's all fixed. Seahawks 51, Lions 29, like we expected. The Seahawks just won people championships all day long. Rashad Penny, Pat, as you had mentioned, 185 total yards, 2 scores. DK Metcalf, 6 catches, 63 yards, 3 touchdowns. Russell Wilson, 236 yards, 4 touchdowns. Even Tyler Lockett, 31 yards with a touchdown. I guess, Pat, what I want to know is, what do you think happens with Rashad Penny? You know, they declined his fifth-year option before the season. Everybody's been waiting for this. Here he comes. He looks fantastic. He's healthy. Do you think they're going to try to sign him, you know, with pushing Carson out the door or what?
I think they'll try. I think they'll know that they probably can't afford to go in with Carson as like their lead guy and alpha guy. And it seems like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're regretting not having picked up his option now.
Yep.
And yeah, we'll see what the interest on the open market is. But, you know, since running back has not been a real splurgy position for teams in free agency lately, maybe they have a chance to retain his services.
Who is the Seattle quarterback next year, Pat?
Oh, that's a good one, Dan. Boy, I have no idea who that's going to be. I mean, I don't think it's going to be Russ. It just feels like it's a divorce coming here.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it is someone like Jimmy G moving to the Northwest, or, you know, someone like Jameis as a bridge. And that would be kind of interesting. Like Jameis, this aggressive, downfield thrower working with DK and Lockett could be kind of fun.
Yeah.
But it was nice to see the DK outburst. I was playing in the championship of a toilet bowl in one league, Dan, for the non-playoff participants.
Sure.
And two of my three receivers in that toilet bowl championship were Chase and DK.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a pretty good week.
Yeah, I imagine DK found himself on a lot of those teams, unfortunately. So we'll see what happens there. For the Lions, liar Dan Campbell, liar. It was not basically all systems go or whatever he said for DeAndre Swift. Four carries, 32 yards, two catches, 7 yards. Jamal Williams finds the end zone, but that's really it. But Amon-Ra St. Brown, dude, 11 targets, 8 catches, 111 yards with the touchdown. He adds 23 yards rushing. With the rushing touchdown, he adds a 2-point conversion. This is a guy who I want to know, Pat, how high do you think you want to draft Amon-Ra St. Brown next year?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, he is going to be, and let me throw one back at you, Dan, after I say it, but I think sure. For me, he's probably going to be in the teens somewhere. Would you rather have Elijah Moore or Amon-Ra St. Brown next year?
I think it's St. Brown. I like Moore a lot, but I think what we saw with St. Brown right now, doing it with, it didn't matter. I mean, Tim Boyle's out there. Doesn't matter what's happening right now. There's no stopping him. I would rather, he looked so confident, Pat. Like, he looked so incredibly confident as the season went on. Just the way he ran his routes, everything he was doing just looked like a veteran NFL player for like the last 3 or 4 weeks. It was fantastic to watch. And we said kudos to our guy Yates, who I like to tease more than anything I like to do in life, really loved St. Brown and thought he could make an impact this year. And I really didn't. I thought it would take time. But man, a teen sounds right to me, like a strong wide receiver too, who I will be trying to get. I'll be buying like the hype on him because I was so impressed with what I saw from him down the stretch, you know?
Yes. And before you besmirch our favorite kneecap biter, Mr. Dan Campbell, Dan, are you sure it was him who said that? Or was that running backs coach Deuce Staley for the Lions?
Oh, was it Staley?
I think it was Deuce who said that.
All right. I apologize, kneecap biter. I apologize for that. And I love Dan Campbell, so I didn't want to besmirch him. Pat, that's it. That was our last game. Those are our last players that we will talk about on the Sunday night recap show. So I realized, Pat, that you had to take over this show under adverse circumstances. And I want to say that I really enjoyed doing it with you and that I appreciated. I mean, you took notes, Pat, which I always thought was very funny because I would see you looking down at like a notepad. You had taken notes like all day on the games because you're just a true professional. I loved it. I thought you did a fantastic job. And the Sunday night shows are tough. Because we've got to be locked in all day long and then we've got to do it. But it was definitely an enjoyable experience to do it the entire season with you, Pat. So I say to you, thank you. And I really enjoyed this ride.
Thanks, Dan. It's been an honor to do this show with you. And, you know, although I could never fill the shoes of our friend Mike Tagliere, you know, I was honored and humbled that I had the chance to try. And you know, it's been a lot of fun. And thanks to all our viewers and listeners.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. You guys showed up with us here every Sunday night. It was awesome. A bunch of you guys in the chat, which I don't think, Pat, I don't think you can see unless you have the YouTube channel up, but I have it up on the right side. I could see everybody commenting and talking and stuff like that. Everybody listening. It was a really great year. If you won a championship, congratulations. I'm so proud of you. If we helped you in any way whatsoever, we take a lot of joy in that. So rest assured. I'm going to be back tomorrow with Andrew Erickson and Joe Pizzapia, breaking down sort of our recap of the whole season and thinking about stuff like that. But in the meantime, we're going to end this show and I'm going to say thanks to Manscaped. Get your new year started off right with the Perfect Package 4.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Yates, of course, best code ever. The code Yates at manscaped.com. Again, 20% off plus free shipping with the code Yates at manscaped.com. Again, I will be back tomorrow with Andrew Erickson and Joe with our recap show for the 2021 football season. I will talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Fantasy Pros. We'll be right back.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.